Welcome back, everybody, to Yom Tov, the Daf Tzadi Chesam and Aleph 98a, and we are on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara is now discussing the halachos of throwing something not in the way that you intended to. Are you going to be chayv? Are you not going to be chayv? How does it play itself out? So says the Gemara Pshita, it is obvious, Niskavin Lizrok Shmon of Zarak Arba, that if someone meant to throw an object 8 amos into Rishis Haram, but it actually only went 4 amos, Harei Kasov Shem Yishimon. This is the equivalent of writing the name Shem instead of Shimon, meaning you meant to write Shimon, but you only got up to Shem, and in that situation, you're going to be chayv. So this would be the same thing. You meant to throw it 8, you only threw it 4, you only did part of it, so you're going to be chayv just like you would in the Ksiva case. Niskavin Lizrok Arba of Zarak Shmone. But what if someone meant to throw it 4 amos and it accidentally went 8 amos? So mahu, what would halacha be in that case? So ask the Gemara, mi amrinan ha'apiklei, odama hechadabai halonach. Do we say that the bottom line is he moved it at least 4 amos, which is what he meant to do initially? Maybe he meant to do 8, 4, whatever. But the bottom line is it happened at least 4, which we know that you're chayav for. Or do we say that no, it didn't come to the place where he wanted it to go? It didn't stop. The hanacha didn't happen in the place where he wanted that to happen. So therefore, he's going to be patur. So how do we answer this? So answers the Gemara. But didn't we just say earlier that the only way that we could possibly say that one is going to be chayiv when their intention did not happen is when you had stam das, that wherever it lands is good, which seems to tell us that if you did mean for something to happen and it didn't happen, whether it's 8 and then it went 4 or 4 and then it went 8, you're going to be patur no matter what. So we were assuming that you're automatically going to be chayev when you meant to throw it 8 and only went 4, but why should be chayev in that case also? If your intentions did not happen, you should not be chayev. So says the Gemara, though, to Kamar Hari Kasav Shem Yishimon. And when we made this comparison to say that the same thing with Ksiva, that if you only wrote the word shame out of Shimon, you're for sure going to be chayev. Me, Dami, are these cases really comparable? Hasam over there in the case of Ksiva, Kamad Lo Ksiv Shem Lo Mechtiv Le Shimon. So it's impossible to write Shimon without the word shame. Hacha, but over here, Kamad Lo Zarik Arba Lo Mizdarke Le Tmane. But here, you could throw it 8 without it stopping at 4, so therefore these cases are not comparable, and therefore you probably wouldn't be chayev in any of these things if your intention did not come true. Now the Gemara goes and talks about another situation of going from rishus to rishus with another type of rishus in between. If someone throws from one rishus haram to another one, rishus hayachad ba'emtsa, there's a rishus hayachad in the middle, arba amos chayev. So if you threw 4 amos, then you are going to be chayev. Meaning the chiddush over here, we're going to say in the Gemara, is that let's say each rishus Harabim had 2 amos, so it was only 4 amos when it was combined with the 2 rishuyos harabim, and there was a rishayachid in between, so still you're going to be chayiv. So that's the Gemara, pachos me'arba amos pater. But if it was pachos, if it was under 4 amos, then you're going to be pater. That's the Gemara, my kamashmalan. That's obvious. We know that you need to throw 4 amos in rishayachid in order to be chayiv. No, rather, ha kamashmalan rishuyos mitstarfos. We see that the 2 rishus harabims, they combine together in terms of making the chayiv. Lo amrin kluta kamashuncha, and we don't say that it's as if when you throw it over the airspace of the Rishus HaYachim, that it comes to a rest, and therefore it would only be 2 and 2. Rather, we say that you are going to be chayev if it went 4 amos total. Now the Gemara comes and discusses another element of transferring things, 4 amos within Rishus HaRav. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yaba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. So says the Gemara, in the name of Rav, that one who transfers within 4 amos, or 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim, if it's in a roofed Rishus HaRabim, then you're going to be Pater, because that's not the way they did it in the Midbar. We know everything's based on the Midbar, and when they would move the Mishkan in the Midbar, that was not done with Rishus HaRabims that were roofed. So therefore, if it's roofed, then you are going to be Pater. But is this really true? But what about the wagons that were taken in the Midbar? The wagons that they would use to move the materials of the Mishkan, the Mekoro Savion, they were roofed because you had boards on top of them, so it was halachically like they were roofed. Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia Agalos, these wagons, Tachtehen, Ubeinehem, Vitzideim, Rishus HaRabim, that the area underneath them and the area between them and the area to the side of them, these are all considered Rishus HaRabim. So we seem to have a steer within Rav, because just before we said that Rav says that any roofed Rishus HaRabim is going to be Pater, but over here we see by the Midbar, by the moving of the wagons, that these were considered roofed, and Rav says that they are going to have the status of Rishus HaRabim, which should imply that you're going to be chayv. So how can we answer this to your within Rav? So answer the Marki Kamar Rav. So when Rav said his statement that it's when, like Rishus HaRabim, that was Bidra Asa. That was when talking about the area underneath the gaps between the stacks of boards. So therefore, that's what it was referring to. That's when it's going to be like Rishus HaRabim. But when we don't have that, then it would be not considered like that and you would be putter. Ask the Gemara now. Michti, let us see. Or Kadagala Kamehave. So what was the length of this wagon? Chamesh Amen. It was 5 amos. That was how long the wagon was. Pushy de Keresh Kama Havais. Now, what was the width of a board? Amsa Upalga. So it was 1.5 amos. So you have 1.5 amma width of the boards, and you have 5 amma wagon. So kama mosif, so how many stacks of boards could you put on a wagon? So it's lasa, you would put three, and then what would you be left with? Pashalei palga da amsa. So you have 1.5 times 3 is 4.5. So you have an extra half amma. That's what's left over within this wagon. Kisha dele mar beni beni kilava dami. So now, when this is evenly distributed between these two gaps, so let's say you have three separate stacks of boards. Now you have a little bit in between each one. You have a little bit of space. The total amount of open space is half an amma. When it's half an amma divided by two, because that's how many open spaces there are, that's less than three tefachim, and that would be kilavu dummy. And this seems to be a situation where it would be considered roofed, because anything that is lavud, anything that's under three tefachim, has the status as if it's totally closed off. So it would be lavud. And what we see from here is that Rav considers this even like a rishus harav, even though it should be lavud, even though it's considered roofed. So we see that he does say that roofed stuff is still going to be considered like a rishus harav. So answers the Gemara: Misavar krushim apusayu hava manochlu. Do we think that these boards were placed on the wagon on their sides, meaning that it was 1.5 amos each? I mean, we were assuming that you can only have three because it's 1.5 amos each, and because they were put on their sides. Achudan manachlu. No, rather they were placed on their narrower sides, which is only one amma, and therefore the space between them is more than three tefachim, and therefore lavud cannot apply, and therefore that's why it would be considered like a rishus harabim, because there's all that extra space on the wagon. Good. Now the Gemara goes on and says, sof sof sumcha dekeresh kam havi. So let's try to figure this out still. Let's say you put the boards on their narrow side. So how big is that? Amsa. That's one amma. Kava hava mosiv. So how many stacks of boards could you then have? Arba. You'd have four stacks, because you can't put all five amos, because that would be too crushed. So you have four stacks of boards on this five amma wagon. So pashalei amsa. So now we have left over one amma for space. Kisha delei mar beni ubeni kilavu dami. Now if you take the three spaces in between, because if you're going to have four stacks and you have three spaces in between, divide that by one amma, that's already also less than three tvachim. That's kilavu dami. So the same question exists. Again, according to Rav, it seems to say that this is a rishus harabim type thing on this wagon, but it should be like lavud. It should be considered roofed. And we see that Rav says that roofed things are like a rishus harabim, which goes against the initial statement of Rav. Now the Gemara says this question only makes sense according to one of the mandamers. What are we talking about? So ha'nicha l'mandamer krush mil matan ovion amma mil malon kolin v'hochen ad ke'etzba. So this makes sense according to the one who says that the boards on the bottom were really thick, and then as you would get higher up, as they would get more towards the top, it would become much more flimsy and much more thin. So Shapir, this makes sense that we can say that this is a situation where maybe it was flimsier on top, and therefore it would spread out more, and therefore it was over three tefachim, and it wouldn't be a lavud case, and then we wouldn't have this year within Rav. But according to the one who says that it was really tough on the bottom and on top, so now we're stuck with this lavud situation, and again, we seem to have this year within Rav, that Rav says first that any roofed rishus harabim is not going to be considered like rishus harabim, but now he's saying that it is like rishus harabim on this wagon, even though we have lavud, which seems to say that it is going to be roofed. So Amar Rav Kana says, Ba'atbe. Rather, these stacks of boards, this board stuff, was not evenly spaced, and it was in some sort of clip formation. It was in some other way where there would be two rows and there would be one gap, and basically the gap was more than three tefachim, and therefore there was no lavud, and that's how it would exist. Now I ask the Gemara, Atba Hecha Manach Lehu Agba Da Agala, Agala Gufa Mekora Have. So now the Gemara asks a bit of a separate question. Where did someone put these boards and this type of board? Was it on top of the wagon? If it was on top of the wagon, and we're saying that it's like a roofed rishus harabim, we're trying to figure that out. But the wagon itself, when you have a wagon, so you're putting it in the wagon, so the wagon, the airspace underneath the wagon, is like a roofed off rishus harabim, because the top of the wagon would be like considered the roof. So when there are two types of wagons you could have, this is assuming that there's a wagon that is fully filled in the middle, that you're putting stuff into the wagon. So if that's the case, then you already have a roofed rishus harabim, and that should be a problem for Rav. So rather, we must be talking about a different type of wagon, says the Gemara. Amar Shmuel b'Yesedos. No, we're talking about a wagon that is just a frame and there's nothing on the inside of it. It's used to carry boards because it could fit on top of the entire frame, and that's how this would be no issue of rishus harabim. This is Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.